Alrighty. So we're back to our evidences here about how we can prove that God exists. I'm going to remind everyone here today that when we're talking about evidences, these are nothing more. And I'm going to keep saying this every single time we talk about this. It's Christian evidences are not a way to save somebody. They are a way to get them to believe that God exists. It's a way to get them on the same page. So we can even start them talking about the Bible so that they can even take it as a means to learn and that we can be on the same level. So the question today is, have we ever stopped and thought about the planet that we live on? The fact of the matter is, when I was a little kid, I remember sitting out in grandma's yard, sitting in the lawn chair, reading a book, and then just looking up the stars and the skies and wondering what it is this world is made of. What is all this? And oftentimes, I'm sure we all have thought the same things. Now, back when I was a kid, we considered there being 9 planets, so Pluto being the one, but I know now it's only 8. But of all the planets that are out there, this is the one that exists. This is the one that has life on it. I know television will have us to think that there are other planets out there, and there may be, we don't know. But the fact of the matter is, we see that there's 9. And what's weird is that they want to escape to another one, as if there's a way to escape the fire and the brimstone that are coming. But there isn't. This morning we're going to look at some of the facts about the creation of our planet, the statistics behind it being exactly as it is, and we're going to look at some of the statistics that show what the evolutionists believe in, and we're going to compare the two. And we're going to take a logical thought process here, and we're going to see which one makes more sense as to which one happened. Did creation happen, or did evolution happen? Which one is more logical to base our faith on? So in a hypothetical study, scientists proposed a bunch of planets. They wanted to find out what the chances would be of finding a planet just like Earth. Now, they chose a rather large source, because with scientists, you have to have a lot of studies. You can't just say, oh, I found one and I'm done. No, you have to study it about 100 times. So what they did is they did it went a little bit above and beyond. What they suggested was 10 to the 19th power. And if I can get a marker here, this number looks like this. You can read the board. It's a pretty big number. That's a lot of zeros behind that number. We actually have a name for that number. That is 10 quintillion. Not a number we hear often. That's how many planets they decided that they were going to study. They were going to test. And of that 10 to the 19th power, they found that 1 and 10 to the 414th power could possibly be a planet like ours. Now look at this number. Now if you're not a math person, this may not make sense. But this number right here is a whole lot smaller. We're talking actually 1. A very, very small number of chances of having a planet just like ours. We only have 9 planets, and we have our planet the way it is, the way the life is, the way that, as we know, God created. Now, they seem like very obscure numbers, and numbers obviously we don't ever use, but the fact of the matter is, right there, logically speaking, the chances for this Earth to be here are slim, unless somebody had a hand in it. And that's what we're going to look at. Now, there was a man many years ago, and unfortunately died about the time I was born, actually. So in 1986, I believe, is when he died. I have to double check that number, but he wrote a book. The book was called Communication with Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Now, this man's name is Carl Sagan. Some of you may know who that is. He had a show on TV. He was an astrologist. He had degrees in this and that. He was a very well-educated man. He studied the stars and so forth. So he had an idea of what he was talking about. But this man was a firm believer that, and against Christianity. He did, like most scientists, and did everything he could to disprove it. Now, in this book that he wrote, he made a claim. He said that for evolution to happen, Here's going to be another number for us to look at. It was a 1 and 10 to the 2 billionth power. Now, we're not talking... Let's see. My internet, I told you, it was worse. Anyways, 10 to the 2 billionth. That is a lot of zeros. It's that many chances... Lost my life. This many chances that it could have been evolution for us to exist. Which one logically seems more likely? Creationism or evolution? Quite obviously, somebody that did not support Christianity said it was a less likely chance for evolution to happen. Well-known scientists, well-known proactive person against Christianity. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we need some verses. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him for him." We have biblical proof. God has told us over and over again. And we're going to see other verses too that God has showed us everything we need to know about him. He's shown us that we can prove to him. And in today's lesson, or at least this morning's lesson, we're looking at the planet and seeing how, just looking at the world around us, that we can prove that God exists. Later this afternoon, we're going to take it more personal. We're going to look at ourselves and see how we can prove God through ourselves. Well, let's continue looking here. The statistics we saw, they proved that there's a much higher chance for creation versus evolution. And logically speaking, we must believe in the facts. Let's look at some other probabilities that are known, that are required to have a planet like our own for life to exist. Scientists believe that it is a 1 in 150th chance of being in the right spot in the world, in the galaxy itself. Just being in the right location. Other studies here, we've seen that it was a 1 in 1,000 chance of having the proper star in the galaxy. Now, if you don't know, there are about 7 different main types of stars that are out there. And then you have subcategories and so forth. And it's all based on the color and the elements that it absorbs and so forth. But there are a lot of different stars. But 1 in 1,000 of a chance of getting the right star. Now, what's interesting about that, if I don't know if you've studied this or anything before, but if we go to Job... Chapter 38. Right here. Job chapter 38. Just a little tidbit of information that I thought I'd share when we're talking about stars. We're looking out and we see them. It's actually something I recently looked up myself. Verse 7 of chapter 38 of Job. Job 38, verse 7, it says, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." We have a weird thing here, talking about stars singing. If you aren't aware, the book of Job is thought to be written about the year, or between the 4th and 6th century BC. What's interesting is we just now discovered, not even 10, 20 years ago, the stars sing. Something the Bible has already told us. God has already known. How would God or any man who did not have the technology that we have today be able to write that the stars sing? Unless there was creator. There was somebody that inspired him. Continuing on. Scientists say that we have to have the right distance from the sun. Being too close, we're going to have a lot hotter day than today. Too far, much colder. Much, much colder than the freezing weather that we have recently. Having the proper mass, it had to be the right size. 1 in 10 chance of that. The proper spin, which is interesting, we actually spin on the Earth, if you don't know, about 1,000 miles an hour. Proper spin for that is a chance of 1 in 10. If you're not aware, there are other planets out there. They have spins that go top to bottom, backwards, and so forth. They're different directions and so forth, but we had a 1 in 10 chance of being this. the right tilt, you know, the right angle of the Earth. We have a 23.4 degree angle. But that just happened by chance, didn't it? It just, the rock decided, oh, I'm just going to hang a little bit to this side. Obviously cannot be. The right magnetic field capable of shielding us from harmful rays, such things like the UV rays and so forth. The chances for that was also 1 in 10. All 7 of these traits needed to be there at the time of the Earth to have any life form on it. If you're not a math person, you can multiply these numbers out. You have a 1 in 15 billion other chance of this Earth being perfect. Quite similar to that number there. It is an obscure number. It's a number that's so beyond that we wouldn't even think about it. But we had a 1 in 15 billion, just based on the other planets, of a chance that we had a perfect world for life to be sustained from the beginning. Now, I think I've shared this statistic before, but the odds of being struck by lightning. You have a chance of being struck by lightning this year of 1 in 960,000. I personally never been struck by lightning, but my odds of being struck by lightning are a lot more than my chances of having an Earth that just all of a sudden appears the way it should be. An Earth that is perfectly stable, Earth that is perfectly from a star that it needs to be, having the right star being in the right place in the solar system and so forth. That had to have come from a plan. Somebody had to, or something had to have created that in order for it to work. Let's go to Psalms 19:1. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Again, we've looked at the skies and the stars. They're examples of what God's there. He's real. And we have proof of it. We have that little kid song that he left his fingerprints everywhere. And it is true. Another scientific finding that exists is called the Anthropic Principle. And this is a principle that which is the cosmological principle that theories of the universe are constrained by the necessity to allow humans to exist. In order, certain things from the beginning of time had to take place in order for Earth to exist as we know it today, for life to exist today, for you and I to be in this room today. These four things that they've found, there are a few others, but these were the main four, had to be in place from the beginning, or else no life would have ever existed. First thing we have here, back here, first thing we saw is we had to have the right space to live in. Not just the planet that we live in, but the entire universe had to be set up from the beginning to be able to sustain life here on Earth. Proper sun, proper stars, everything had to be in order for life to exist. Continuing on, a little bit more science here. We have neutrons, protons, the pluses and the minuses we learned in science class, if you remember. If one was off of the other, if one was stronger, if one was weaker, if they were the relationship between the two was stronger, we would not have things such as carbon and iron. You can watch a TV show and you'll find out easily that you and I are made of carbon. If that had not a relationship had not been proper, we would not exist. If it had been too weak, if we do not have the proper connection, then water wouldn't exist. If water didn't exist, could you? 60% of your body, or if not more, is made of water. Could you exist without that hydrogen? This had to be taking place at the beginning of a creation, or else no life would have existed. Again, a third one is Newton's wonderful discovery. We may not understand this one. Law of gravity. Had to be exactly 6 to the 67th times 10 to the negative 11th power. Another random number. But we call it gravity. If it had been any stronger on our Earth, things would have collided. They would have caused massive black holes. Problems would exist that no life could exist in. And again, if anything were weak, if it was weaker, nothing could stick to each other. We wouldn't be able to stay on this planet. And can any of us survive in the atmosphere? No. We're not going to be out living out in space. Those four things had to, those three had to take in place, or else no life. The fourth thing that was needed was the relationship between electrical force between particles, the statics there. Any slight change in this relationship, no life could exist at all. Here's a fact that we may have missed about this principle. I may have not stated it enough, but I want you to understand it and get it in our minds so that when we're talking to people, we can explain this to them. That in order for life to exist, all these things had to be true at the beginning of creation. At the beginning of time. None of this, we just kind of rolled into it and became a massive blob of Earth that we know, and all of a sudden life forms started coming from that. It had to be there from the beginning. All these points have proven over again. You can't deny that, statistically speaking, it is more logical to show that a creator was there. Let's look again. We've seen this before, but Hebrews chapter 3. We can keep coming back to these verses and just seeing it, but we know that there's a God. But we need to show the other people too that we need to get them into the Bible. And the way we do it is showing them logically there is no other option. To think that 1 in 10 to the 2 billionth power is logical, that we just all of a sudden came from monkeys or something, is not logical. We have to be able to prove that to them. But Hebrews 3:4 says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is of God." Again, we don't just see a pair of shoes on the street with a little check mark symbol on them and just all of a sudden think, wow, those just came out of nowhere. Our instinct is, oh, somebody left their Nikes here. We know that somebody created those shoes, and we know they're owned by somebody. Just like we look out in the world, we see our solar system, we see our stars, we see our planet and how perfectly aligned it is. Somebody had to plan that. For every creation ever, there has to be a creator. And that is where we find God. Romans 1:20 we've also looked at. Romans 1:20. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." We have no excuse. We look out and we see things that are in this world, that are out of what we'd call out of this world. There is no denying that God is there. That God exists. That God had a hand in creation. That God is there. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32. And we're going to look at verse 17. It says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee." He's made the earth. He's made the heaven. He's made everything. It's not impossible to believe that he did this. Logically speaking, we cannot deny that there is a God. Logically speaking, we have to follow him. Logically speaking, he's there. Logically speaking, this is the truth. Again, how could a book, 5th, 6th century BCE, prove the stars sung? We just had the technology not too long ago. We just discovered it ourselves. You go YouTube it. Look it up. It's pretty interesting, actually, of how they do it. They didn't have the technology back then to do that. They had hammers, they had axes, they had saws, that kind of things, but they did not have the telescopes and so forth, the other technology, the ways to measure the sound waves like we do today. But they knew about it. There's only one explanation. The creator. Creator inspired him to write it, to tell us. that is the only explanation, the only logical explanation. This afternoon, I suggest you all to stick around. We're going to talk about ourselves, how looking at our own bodies can show people that God exists. And we're going to look at some other animals that are around us too, and we're going to see that there's no way that you can deny God just based on their behaviors. So I invite you all to stick around. If there's any among us today that after hearing some statistical facts have stopped wavering on the fence, that you're more geared, you want to hear more about God's word, come up front, talk to us. I will be glad to study with you because God's word is the only way we're going to get to heaven. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're not going to get faith any other way. Romans 10:17. And again, as we said, God's word is the only word that's going to get us there. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. We've shown that he has to exist. Logically speaking, there is no alternative. He has to exist. And if he exists, we have to have faith to please him, as he says in Hebrews 11:6, and we must believe in him. Upon hearing God's word and believing, we recognize that we must put off the old man. We must repent. We must change who we were and match up the things that we find in the New Testament as things that we need to have in our life. Acts 17:30 tells us that he commands us all to repent. We prove he's existing. He wants us to have faith in him. He wants us to believe in him. He wants us to change. If he really exists, as we've proven with statistics, then we ought to obey him. We ought to listen to him. Do as he says, because if he's real and he said that heaven exists and the only way to get to heaven is through these steps, then we better listen. Romans 10:9 tells us that we must confess Christ with our mouth, with our lips. And that the confession is a way of saying, God, Christ, you have control of my life. You are the leader. You are the master. Direct my steps. Be the lamp of my path. And then we are baptized for the remission of our sins, fully submerged, is what that baptism means. As Peter says in Acts 2:38, and then and only then, as 2:47 says, are we added to the Lord's church. Only then, when we've completed those five steps. If there's any among you that want prayers, or if you need to respond to the message, now's the time as we stand and sing this next song.
On the gentle voice of Jesus.